Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversations. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Brannon Poe, founder of Poe Group Advisors in the Accounting Practice Academy. How are you today, Brannon?
I'm doing great, Liz. I'm so glad to be on.
Well, it's a privilege to have you here. You're one of the smartest people I know in what works for accounting, because you've got really concrete data to back up what you've seen. Now, we've got a lot to cover, so let's get started. Now, for years, accounting talent has been scarce, and COVID made that worse. What are some ideas you have on how to make things better, and what have you seen firms do successfully?
Well, it's a really appropriate question, because I'm hearing it more and more from our clients, and the CPAs that we speak with on a regular basis are saying it's becoming a really big problem. And I think that the real solution is not a quick solution, but the real solution is getting the firm culture right. And I used to think firm culture, that seems lofty and sort of just very unclear as to what that really means. And I've drilled into it more and more this year, especially as we've looked at our own culture. And what our company has been able to do is attract really amazing talent during this time. And I'm sort of honored and flattered that we've been able to do that. And it's kind of caused me to kind of become more introspective on the reasons for it. And I think firm culture, really where the rubber meets the road, is how people are engaging with the work. And a big part of that is being delegated the right work. I think that's one of the key things, is if someone really likes a particular type of work, they're going to be more engaged and more motivated. They're going to stay longer. If you're constantly bogging people down with work that they don't enjoy, and you have this top-down sort of management approach, and you feel like, well, just suck it up and do the work that I want you to do, that's not really good for firm culture. So I think the first layer of it is proper delegation. And proper delegation has so many other ripple effects in a practice, because, you know, firm owners often are the biggest bottleneck in their firm. They feel like, you talk to them and they feel like, hey, I got a million things coming at me, 90 miles an hour, my email, different communications, staff questions. You know, it's just a tornado for a lot of firm owners. And delegation solves that problem too. So for Academy, we created a tool for delegation that's really simple. I call it the 3-bucket tool. And you think about, you know, if you think about the owner, okay, what is the work that lights you up? What do you really enjoy doing, or maybe even want to do more of, or want to add to your plate? What would you really like to go ahead and delegate? Like, if you had somebody to do the work, what would you delegate right now if you could? And then what would you delegate eventually? Like, what, maybe you're good at it, but it doesn't really energize you in terms of the work. Well, so if you do that for yourself and you do that for your whole team, everybody gets more aligned with where their strengths are. And also, it helps you determine what your hiring needs are. So, believe it or not, all the work that people don't want to do, somebody out there might really want that work. You know, somebody might be really good at that type of work. There are people that are just taskmasters. They're really good administrative people. They're great tax preparers. They're great. There's, you just got to get people doing what they're more aligned with, their work.
I agree with you completely. And that was probably a big part of what chased me out of public accounting, that I was a tax person, but I kept getting pulled into these audits, which I didn't like. I didn't understand audit. I didn't have really the background to know quite what it was I was doing, except, well, here's last year's work papers and just update the numbers. Okay. But yeah, I think that right sizing the work for each person really makes a big difference.
Yeah, and people, a lot of people want to be challenged, and you don't even know what type of things they want to be challenged by if you don't ask them. I think there's just, you've got to have a more collaborative culture where you're open to trying to shift work around. And you might not always be able to do it, but I think employees just knowing that you're open and you're trying to align them properly with the type of work they can do is, I think that's probably puts you ahead of most CPA firms.
Oh, absolutely. And another thing that I think will help is changing the business model. Now, for a long time, the business model for accounting firms hadn't really changed. It was all based on the billable hour and this kind of rigid org chart firm hierarchy. But we're seeing more firms move away from the old styles. What are some of the things that you're seeing in the firms that you work with?
Well, a lot of the people that are coming to Accounting Practice Academy, a fair number are already doing value pricing. And a fair number are working remotely with team members, which is another thing. Back to your first question about staff, I think having a remote workforce is would be a big help too. But back to the value pricing, a lot of our clients do move into value pricing as they go through Academy. The thing I think is the biggest shift, it requires a big mindset shift. And that has to be done first. You can't implement something new until you're totally sold on it yourself, right? And so many CPAs equate time with money, and you've got to mentally switch that off. And you've got to realize it's not about the time. It's about what's valuable to the client. And the cool thing about value pricing is it makes you focus on what's valuable to the client. And the more you go down that implementation and the more you go into that adoption of it, the more you'll see the practice focus on that client value. And guess what happens? You start delivering more value. So I think it's not only a model for more profitability, it's a model for way better client service. So what we're seeing is a lot of people switch to value pricing. They go to different pricing options for clients. What level of service do you want? Do you want, and I think it's really cool. Like some of the people have been creative with tax work. They're saying, okay, if we're going to do individual 1040 returns, maybe we have a different price point. Like if they want to come into the office and meet and talk, that's a different price point than just putting everything in the portal and e-filing the return. Which makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. It does.
So, I mean, that's the 1040. I don't think that's where the real value happens, but that's just sort of one example. I think the real value is with the business clients.
Absolutely. I mean, there for most 1040 clients, there's only a few limited things that you can really do to move the needle of tax liability. But and I really like what you said about focusing on what is valuable to the client, because I think that's where a lot of the price resistance that we perceive comes from, that we're afraid to ask for our true value because we don't think or we know that the clients don't value what we're providing.
And oftentimes the client's right. You're not providing something that's really valuable and you're kind of holding back. I think a lot of accountants have more knowledge and insight than they realize. And they're just not set up to properly deliver and articulate that value.
No, they tend to be just kind of this tunnel vision of got to get the tax return out, got to get the books tied out for this month, got to get the audit report out, and that's really all they see instead of saying, hey, these things change in your tax return or in your business. What's going on? Is there something we can help you with? There's so much insight and knowledge that we're just not sharing.
Yeah, it's really a waste if you think about it.
It really is sad,
Yeah.
Now, what about growth? A lot of firms talk about growing and scaling. What are some of the best strategies? Are there different strategies for solo practices versus multi-partner practice? What have you seen that works?
Well, I think growth really isn't that different in firm, depending on firm size. I think it's the fundamentals are the same. And what we see in Academy is if you focus on delivering value to the client, if you're more intentional about the clients that you serve and the type of work that you're doing, and you can have good relationships with clients and you've got capacity. Like there's a lot of things that have to happen before growth happens. Most people, or a lot of firms, I should say, don't even have capacity to think about growth realistically, unless they want to go from 70 hours to 90 hours a week. So what we find works is actually you start by creating that capacity, and there's a pruning and an analysis that needs to happen so that you can grow with a more focused effort. And once you're focused on what you want and you really identify what you're good at as a firm, then through referrals and cross-selling from existing clients, you usually have more growth than you can say grace over. So I don't know that we don't promote some sort of like outside marketing. Not that marketing's not important, because marketing is important for referrals and cross-selling. I tell people, they say marketing's not important. I'm like, well, and you look at their website and you can tell they think marketing's not important. But the website's actually a really important marketing piece, because if you get a client referral, what's the first thing that person's probably going to do? They're going to go look at your website.
Of course, of course.
So, and then in terms of cross-selling, a lot of clients aren't even aware of what sort of offerings that you have. So you use that marketing communication mainly for your existing client base. Like that's how you grow. Success, that's how you grow profitably.
Yeah, I like the point of growth isn't just about bringing more clients in the door, but providing more and deeper services to your existing clients. And I like the emphasis on capacity because, you know, you're right. You know, you can only grow if you have the capacity to do some extra work. Otherwise, it's just nuts.
Yeah. And I see so many firms just try to grow. And especially with cloud firms, actually, I really see this a lot with cloud firms is they're growing so fast that they get overwhelmed by it. And then they overwhelm their team, and then people start getting, they start leaving. You know, you can lose staff if you try to work people too hard. Back to firm culture, you can't ask too much of teams today. You just can't, or they'll go somewhere where there's better work-life balance. So it's a delicate thing. You've got to balance the capacity with the growth.
Yeah, and I think we keep circling back to firm culture as being key. You know, you can't just bring on people who won't be suitable. You can't bring on clients who aren't a good fit. It all has to work together. Now, in the past, you know, probably back when you were practicing as an accountant, you needed to carry all the FASB regs in your head, and you had to be really good with a 10 key. But technology has really taken away a lot of that. So what skills should accountants have to be successful today and in the future?
I think they need to be more entrepreneurial. I think it needs you need a more entrepreneurial mindset and approach, which is a little scary for a lot of accountants because that's a little bit more of a risk tolerant approach. It's a little less perfectionistic approach. But if you're going to change can be messy and change is going to happen, I think, rapidly in this industry. I think we're already in the midst of a pretty big transition in this industry. And that, you know, I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. So the firms that can adapt and can change are going to be successful, and the firms that don't are going to slowly feel the pinch.
I agree with you completely, you know, and that entrepreneurial mindset is something that really is going to be hard for accountants, for a lot of accountants, because a lot of us liked accounting because it was predictable. It was, you know, you had the answer. It was in a box. You knew it. It was certain. But when you have an entrepreneurial mindset, you're just trying things. It's experimental. And accountants are not so comfortable with experimentation. So, you know, how do we get them over that hump of being willing to try new things?
Well, I think what we've learned is you have to take the risk and put it in a box. You have to try to say, okay, we're going to go play in this little sandbox over here, and we're going to try some new things, and we're going to take some chances in this little box. Mm-hmm. And then you get confidence in that box, and then you go to a little bit different, a little more, bigger box, and so forth.
Yeah, so it's kind of iterating, trying something new. You iterate and then grow. And then, you know, instead of trying to roll a big change out to the whole firm, you maybe try it with one or two clients or, you know, just a tiny corner of your practice.
I think people do that with like moving to the cloud. Like one of the most successful cloud transformations I've heard of was a firm in Atlanta. I did a podcast on it, and they did one segment of the business. They had one small portion of the team spearhead the effort, and that's how it worked. The first time they tried to implement a transformation to the cloud, they failed. They abandoned the effort, but then they came back and they did it in this way, and it worked. And then they could expand it to the firm.
That's really cool. That gives me hope for the future, you know, that you can kind of have training wheels as you try out new things. It doesn't have to be all at once, but still you got to start trying new things. And speaking of new things, this is kind of the opposite of trying new things, but what should accountants stop doing immediately?
I think they should stop accepting the status quo.
I love it. Yeah.
Because, you know, I think a lot of people just have these assumptions, and these assumptions have just been true for so long that they think those assumptions can't be tested or changed. A good example is that the assumption that tax season has to be brutal, that it has to be like this heavy, heavy number of hours. This is insane. Like, I'm going to give up my life until April. It doesn't have to be that way. I've seen firms do it a different way. So I think just kind of challenging your assumptions. There's just so much inertia. So that would be stop just accepting as inevitable that you have to work a lot of hours or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I don't think there's really anything beyond the deadlines that say it has to be that way. And one of the partners that I worked with for a long time started practicing in the 60s. And he said back then, what they did with a lot of their business clients was have them shift to different fiscal year ends. And that way they could spread a lot of the business tax work out over the year. But if you have an S-Corp, you can't really do that. You don't have that kind of flexibility with year ends. So while S-Corps are great for the clients and their businesses, it's maybe not so great for tax. But I agree. I have heard of firms that have figured out how to schedule their workload so that it's not all coming due in this 3 month or 2 month or 1 month burst that ends in April. So I think there are ways around it. You just have to plan and be willing to try different things.
Yeah, and now, planning is the key.
Yeah. Yeah, and accountants are terrible at planning. They're just not very good, because we don't carve out the time to do that. And so all of a sudden it's like, well, this thing is due tomorrow, so I guess we better plan.
And I would even go as far as to say the billable hour is in some way responsible for the lack of planning.
Yeah.
Because people equate time as money. Time's not money. Time is not money.
And, it is not.
You know, so if you slow down and plan, you'd be amazed at how much more money you can make.
That's right, because you have the opportunity to take a bigger picture, to look at the things that you're seeing and get creative ideas on how you can really help your clients do better. You know, instead of just, well, here's one tax return done, let me start on the next one. Here's that one, you know, just an assembly line, you know, just stopping to think a little bit really makes a difference. Now, we've talked a lot about the need for accountants to change, but what do you think are the blocks to change? You know, we hear a lot about the accountants needing to change, but they're so happy with the status quo. Why?
That's a great question. Why are they happy with the status quo? And that I don't know the answer to that question, but in terms of why people don't change, I think inertia might be the biggest one. Like you say, it's just they're content with the status quo. I think perfectionism is a part of it because it's risky to switch things up, as we've mentioned. And so things can get a little messy, and that's uncomfortable if you're a perfectionist. And you know, I think it goes back to that sort of entrepreneurial mindset that I think is needed. But I think the biggest obstacle to change is it's pretty simple. It's just lack of action. So either they don't want to, either you don't believe it's possible, right? To make a change, you have to first believe it's possible that something better, a better outcome is possible. Right? And then you have to start taking action. So it's not that hard conceptually. It's just that action. You know, they say the heaviest lift at the gym is the opening the front door to go into the gym. You know, so it's that.
Yeah, it's just taking the first step, you know, and I think even just admitting that maybe there's a better way to do things. You know, we get so caught up in our in the way that things have always worked that it's really hard to let go of that sometimes. But you know, accountants will either change or they won't. Something else will take over. Now, CAS is big now. That's kind of become a big thing. Client accounting services, client advisory services, whatever you want to call it. What do you think will be the next big thing?
Well, I'm going to put out some wishful thinking on what I think should be the next big thing. Is this, I'd like to see a sort of revolution of going back to some fundamental business practices in the CPA industry. We sell a lot of cloud firms, and there is a hot market for cloud accounting services, and it's a great business. But what I have learned is that even in growing cloud firms, a lot of times people have to go back to the basics in order to grow. And so I think basic business practices are sometimes the technology is like the new shiny thing, but you can't really grow on a foundation that's not solid. And so what I mean is like basic management practices, you know, culture, firm culture. And that's applicable to traditional or cloud firms. It doesn't matter how the service is being delivered. And so the better, you know, a question that Jeff Bezos posed, the founder of Amazon posed, was what's not going to change? Which is also a great question to ask. Like, what in accounting is not ever going to change? Business people are going to want insight from their CPAs. They're going to want tax planning advice from their CPAs. They're going to want good service, be that virtual service or in-person service. So those things are not going to change. So, back to basics. What does the client want? What is going to benefit the client the most? Like, figure out the answers to those questions for your firm. Mm-hmm. Those fundamentals, they don't change, but they get forgotten. No. They don't get practiced.
No, I think you're right. You know, and, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not the shiny new thing. It's not the technology. Technology is disrupting the field, but technology by itself is not the solution to bringing accounting into the future. We've got to be the humans.
Yeah, I think technology can do so much, and it's going to be able to do more and more. And I'm a big adopter of technology, and I use technology. We're a cloud firm, and, you know, we're not a CPA firm, but we're a virtual. We serve our clients virtually. So I'm a big believer in the tools, but if you don't know how to use the tools, they're not very good.
No, and I've talked to lots of other people who say that before you can even get the tools, you've got to get the people right. You've got to get the processes right. You've got to have systems. And then you can bring in the tools to overlay on that and to get the work done. But you can't just bring in a new workflow management tool and think that that's going to solve everything, when it's not going to provide the information that your firm needs. It's not really going to help you.
Yeah. And if your pricing model's not right, it's really hard to scale without that being right. So, I mean, they really do go hand in hand, but you got to get the fundamentals right.
Yeah. And I think we could talk for a long time about pricing and how accountants tend to undervalue what they can deliver. And there's too much reticence in asking for what we really are worth.
Yeah, it might be one of the biggest obstacles to prosperity in owning a firm.
I think that is probably the best place, a good place to end things, as, you know, pricing being an obstacle to prosperity. I want to thank you so much for your time, Brandon. Now, if people want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Well, you can check out our websites. We're at pogroupadvisors.com, and we're also at accountingpracticeacademy.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Brandon Poe. Those three ways are probably the best.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And look forward to meeting you in person someday, Brandon.
Likewise, Liz. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been fun.
Oh, you're welcome. This is great.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com. Now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.